Jobs and the economy will spearhead the government's re-election strategy, with the Prime Minister pledging an extra 1.25 million new jobs over the next 5 years. Scott Morrison is spending much of the week in Queensland, and in a major economic speech in Brisbane today, he'll also promise to wipe out net debt over the decade. That's more than $350 billion of debt reduction. And rolling out the scare campaign, the government is warning the election of a shortened government will mean recession. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann will be with the Prime Minister for the economic address, and he joins us from Brisbane. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Good to be back.
So the Prime Minister's promising 1.25 million jobs. What sort of jobs, Minister? Full-time, part-time, casual? What's this guarantee?
Well, our track record over the last 5.5 years is that we've delivered 1.2 million new jobs, most of them full-time, and most of them very good jobs across every industry. I mean, we, over our period in government, have seen the highest number of new jobs created for women, for older Australians, for younger Australians, indeed for all Australians. And what we want to do is build on that track record and provide the conditions in the economy to ensure that 1.25 million new jobs can be created over the next 5 years.
I'm not sure that's building on it is. I mean, given 268,000 jobs were created last year, more than 400,000 jobs the year before that, what you're promising and what the PM is promising today is business as usual or a bit worse, isn't it? What's so good about that?
You got to remember, when we came into government, we inherited from the Labor Party, when Bill Shorten and Chris Bowen were last in government, they left behind a weakening economy, rising unemployment and a rapidly deteriorating budget position. The economy now is stronger, employment growth is much stronger, the unemployment rate is lower, and indeed wages growth has started to pick up. What we know is that if Bill Shorten was able to implement his high taxing agenda, it would leave the economy weaker, and it would leave the country weaker, and it would make Australians poorer, and indeed it would lead to fewer jobs, higher unemployment and lower wages over time.
You're making this promise of 1.25 million jobs. Are you locking in the current unemployment rate of 5% or less? Will you state the government on that?
Well, our current forecast is for the unemployment rate to be at 5% over, the forward estimates period. But you got to remember, when we came in, I mean, the unemployment rate was heading past 6% and rising. Indeed, Chris Bowen, as Shadow Treasurer, in his initial outing, said that the test of our economic success or failure was whether we would keep the unemployment rate below 6.25%. And indeed, it's down to 5%. You got to remember, Bill Shorten and Chris Bowen left behind a weakening economy, rising unemployment, and a rapidly deteriorating budget position. They haven't learned from their mistakes. They want to go back to their failed high-taxing approach of the past, which would deliver the same outcome, weaker growth, fewer jobs, higher unemployment and lower wages. It would make our economy weaker and it would make Australians poorer.
Well, promising more jobs is all very well, but Australians who have a job say the issue for them is wages growth. Real wages have barely moved over the past 5 years. What's the government promising on that?
Well, as the as employment growth strengthens and the excess supply in the labour market reduces, wages will go up. You've got to remember...
Wages will go up if there's less... if there's more people out of work, basically, won't they?
Well, under Labor, as the economy was weakening and unemployment was rising, of course, wages were going to be less than they otherwise would have been. And that would be the recipe again. I mean, if Labor was able to implement their high-taxing agenda and unemployment goes up, it stands to reason that less competition for workers means lower wages, whereas under us, with stronger economic growth, stronger employment growth, of course, as the unemployment rate has gone down and there's more competition for workers, the wages grow by more. And of course,
but they haven't been. We've had strong productivity, but low wages growth.
Well, you're quite wrong. Wages growth has started to pick up, but of course,
minimally.
It's started to pick up by more, and having inherited a deteriorating trajectory, of course, we have to turn that around. We have turned that around. The key now is not to change direction, to keep heading in the same direction, to continue to implement our plan for a stronger economy and more jobs. I mean, the state of the economy has a real impact on real people. If the economy is stronger, there's better opportunity for all Australians to get ahead, and there's better opportunity for the government to fund all of the essential services Australians rely on. When the economy is weaker, of course, there'll be fewer jobs, higher unemployment, less competition for workers and lower wages over time. That is the threat of a shortened Labor government pursuing higher taxes again as they have in the past.
As the Prime Minister promises 1.25 million new jobs over the next 5 years, he's also promising to entrench a permanent immigration cut to 160,000 people, immigrants per year, to keep that cap. Can you fulfil both promises, keep immigration down and jobs up? Isn't that a conflict?
We don't believe it's a conflict.
Why not?
Because we always very carefully calibrate the level of migration consistent with our economic needs, and that is, I mean, obviously the judgment that we are making in the context of our economic conditions and in terms of what we see happening into the future, that is the appropriate level, and that is why we make these judgments. I mean, we always make judgments, across a whole range of indicators, to make sure that we calibrate them properly in our national interest.
Yes, but as economist Chris Richardson points out again today, population and jobs are inextricably linked. So if you're putting a cap on population growth because of the immigration cap, aren't you putting a cap on jobs growth?
Well, no, we're not putting a cap on jobs growth, obviously. But we are a trading nation. We want to ensure that we can sell more Australian products and services all around the world, which is, of course, why our focus has been on signing on to as many export agreements as possible to help our exporting businesses sell more Australian products and services around the world. That is why, as part of our comprehensive plan, we focused on, of course, congestion busting infrastructure, but also our trading infrastructure, to make sure that we get our products to market in the most efficient, lowest cost, safest way possible. So, I mean, we do have a comprehensive plan for the economy. It also means that we need to attract the right people and the right amount of people.
And attracting the right people on that, I mean, the government's 1.2 million jobs since it was elected in 2013, according to the Department of Home Affairs, about half of those were filled by temporary visa workers.
The unemployment rate was heading past 6% and it's down to 5%. I mean, when we came into government...
Yeah, but my point is it was 1.2 million jobs, so essentially the same promise you're making, half of those almost, 500,000 people, filled by temporary visa workers. Do you expect that to be the pattern into the future?
Well, obviously we want to create as many new jobs as possible. Our commitment is to 1.25 million jobs over the next 5 years. When we made the promise of 1 million new jobs back in 2013... the Labor Party dismissed it, as they're dismissing it now. They said it couldn't be done, essentially, back in 2013. And, of course, so not only have we delivered on the 1 million new jobs, we have exceeded that target. But, across the economy, there are always, many different, indicators that you've got to focus on. The one thing we know is that Bill Shorten's high-taxing agenda would make the economy weaker and would, of course, lead to fewer jobs and higher unemployment, as it has in the past.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann. Minister, as we've been speaking, and it hasn't escaped our listeners' attention, that this seems to be basically a scare campaign in the run-up to the election, that the message is, when it comes to the economy, your message is government good, Labor bad. Is that really the message you want voters to hear?
Well, I completely reject the proposition that this is a scare campaign. This is telling the Australian people the truth. This is telling the Australian people the truth about the impact of a weaker economy as opposed to a stronger economy. What we've seen over the last 5.5 years is a stronger economy with more jobs being created, with the budget getting back into surplus, where with the capacity to fund more of the essential services Australians rely on, putting more money into schools, more money into hospitals, more money into listing important medicines on the pharmaceutical...
Labor is promising all those things, and how can you say it's not a scare campaign when the government is basically saying a shortened Labor government will bring on a recession? That's what Defence Minister Christopher Pyne said yesterday.
Fran, when Labor was last in government, not only did they leave behind a weakening economy, rising unemployment and a rapidly deteriorating budget position, they had stopped listing key medicines on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, even though they had been recommended by the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Council. But that is because they had completely lost control of the budget. I mean, the budget was in such bad shape that they could no longer afford to list key medicines.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you believe a shortened Labor government would lead Australia into a recession?
Well, what we've said is that a high-taxing shortened Labor government would make the economy weaker, would make our country weaker, and would make Australians poorer. There's no question about that.
Would it mean a recession?
But I've answered your question. A shortened
Not
Labor
really.
Government... Well, I have. Absolutely direct.
Well, Christopher Pyne says, when asked what will a Labor government mean, he says it will mean a recession. Do you agree?
A shortened Labor government will make our economy weaker, will make our country weaker, and will make Australians poorer. It will lead to fewer jobs, higher unemployment, lower wages. People would end up paying more tax and earning less. That's what a shortened Labor government would mean. It would seriously damage their living standards. It would seriously damage the government's capacity to fund the essential services Australians rely on, because a weaker economy and fewer jobs and higher unemployment also means a weaker budget position.
Minister, away from the economy, yet another high-profile independent is announcing that they'll challenge a senior coalition figure, this time Treasurer Josh Frydenberg. It's the former chief executive of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, Oliver Yates. He's a long-term Liberal Party member. Is Oliver Yates a chance in Kooyong?
This particular gentleman has not been a Liberal for a very long time. He was appointed to a very...
But he was a Liberal for a very long time.
He was appointed to a very senior role by the Gillard Labor government. I mean, he's been that way inclined for a very long time. Good luck to him. It's a free world. I'm very confident that Josh Frydenberg, who is not only an outstanding treasurer, but also an outstanding local member for Kooyong, I'm very confident the people of Kooyong will know that Josh Frydenberg is the right representative for them in the parliament over the next term.
Oliver Yates is yet another independent, motivated in part by the government's lack of action on climate change. We've had Karen Phelps, we've got Zali Steggall challenging Tony Abbott on that issue, particularly in recent times. Are you getting the message?
Yeah. I completely disagree with the underlying assertion. I mean, we do, of course, have a commitment to effective action on climate change. We are committed to the Paris emission reduction targets. We have the policies in place to ensure we meet those.
Our emissions are going up, Minister.
We actually compared to the business as usual trajectory, as is of course what our objective is. I mean, we have met and exceeded our emissions reduction target on the Kyoto 1. We are on track to meet our emissions reduction target on the Kyoto 2, and we believe that we can meet our emissions reduction target under Paris by 2030.
Okay. Just finally and briefly, three ministers have announced their retirement over the past week or so. Not a great look for the government. Are you urging colleagues, including fellow West Australian Julie Bishop, to hold tight?
Well, again, I mean, I reject that characterisation entirely. In the lead-up to every election, senior people on both sides decide that's the time when people announce that they'll retire. I mean, on the Labor side, then you've got Jacinta Collins, you've got Kate Ellis, you've got Jenny Macklin. There'll probably be others. In the lead-up to every election on both sides of Parliament, are there people who announce that they will retire at the upcoming election? That is the normal time when that happens. I mean, over the last 20 years that I've watched Australian politics closely, it has happened in the lead-up to every election.
Have you spoken to Julie Bishop? Do you think she'll recontest Curtin?
Julie Bishop has been very adamant. She's very clear that she intends to recontest the next election. And, of course, she has made that an extremely safe seat, and we look forward to Julie continuing on as a member of our team.
Minister, thank you very much.
Always good to talk to you.
Finance Minister Matthias Cormann.